It is the life of Alexander the King and of Caesar who overthrew Pompey that I'm writing in this book, and the multitude of the deeds to be treated is so great that I shall make no other preface than to entreat my readers, in case I do not tell of all the famous actions of these men, nor even speaks exhaustively at all in each particular case, but in epitome for the most part, not to complain. For it is not histories that I am writing, but lives. And in the most illustrious deeds, there is not always a manifestation of virtue or vice. Nay, a slight thing like a phrase or a jest often makes a greater revelation of character than battles when thousands fall, or the greatest armaments or sieges of cities. Accordingly, just as painters get the likenesses in their portraits from the face and the expression of the eyes, wherein the character shows itself, but make very little account of the other parts of the body, so I must be permitted to devote myself rather to the signs of the soul in men, and by means of these to portray the life of each, leaving to others the description of their great contests. As for the lineage of Alexander, on his father's side, he was a descendant of Heracles through Carinus, and on his mother's side, a descendant of Icarus through Neoptolemus. This is accepted without any question. And we are told that Philip, after being initiated into the mysteries of Samothrace at the same time with Olympias, he himself being still a youth and she an orphan child, fell in love with her and betrothed himself to her at once with the consent of her brother, Arimbas. Well then, the night before that on which the marriage was consummated, the bride dreamed that there was a peal of thunder, and that a thunderbolt fell upon her womb, and that thereby much fire was kindled, which broke into flames that travelled all about, and then was extinguished. At a later time, too, after the marriage, Philip dreamed that he was putting a seal upon his wife's womb, and the device of the seal, as he thought, was the figure of a lion. The other seers, now, were led by the vision to suspect that Philip needed to put a closer watch upon his marriage relations. But Aristander of Telmessus said that the woman was pregnant, since no seal was put upon what was empty, and pregnant of son, whose nature would be bold and lion-like. Moreover, a serpent was once seen lying stretched out by the side of Olympias as she slept, and we are told that this, more than anything else, dulled the ardour of Philip's attentions to his wife, so that he no longer came often to sleep by her side, either because he feared that some spells and enchantments might be practised upon him by her, or because he shrank for embraces in the conviction that she was the partner of a superior being. But concerning these matters, there is another story to this effect. All the women of these parts were addicted to the Orphic rites and the orgies of Dionysus from very ancient times, being called Clodones and Mimalones, and imitated in many ways the practices of the Idonian women and the Thracian women about Mount Hymas, from whom, as it would seem, the word Threscuine came to be applied to the celebration of extravagant and superstitious ceremonies. Now Olympias, who affected these divine possessions more zealously than other women, and carried out these divine inspirations in wilder fashion, used to provide the revelling companies with great tame serpents, which would often lift their heads from out the ivy and the mystic winnowing baskets, or coil themselves above the wands and garlands of the women, thus terrifying the men. However, after his vision, as we are told, Philip sent Chiron of Megalopolis to Delphi, by whom an oracle was brought to him from Apollo, who bade him sacrifice to Ammon and hold that god in greatest reverence, but told him he was to lose that one of his eyes which he had applied to the chink in the door when he spied the god, in the form of a serpent, sharing the couch of his wife. Moreover, Olympias, as Eratosthenes says, when she sent Alexander forth upon his great expedition, told him, and him alone, the secret of his begetting, and bade him have purposes worthy of his birth. Others, on the contrary, say that she repudiated the idea, and said, Alexander must cease slandering me to Hera. Be that as it may, Alexander was born early in the month Hecatompion, the Macedonian name for which is